Project Sapient is a podcast meant to engage our brothers and sisters in the law enforcement and military communities in conversations that we all know we need to have. All opinions you'll hear are our own, are protected by our First Amendment of the United States Constitution, and in no way reflect or are meant to reflect the opinion of any specific agency, officer, or service member. Some opinions may be controversial. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
All right, everybody. This is Hyman from Project Sapient. I have Pete with me. Say hi, Pete.
Hello.
So the reviews have been, the feedback we've been getting has been amazing. A lot of good, positive feedback. People are loving the way the show is and how the format of it and the what we talk about, the real stuff, of law enforcement and military. And we're hoping to keep it that way.
Yes.
So.
No, I guarantee you we're going to keep it that way.
Yeah. So myself and Pete were talking. We decided, because people want to hear more from us, decided to do what we're calling a midweek roll call, whether it's going to be highlighting officers across the country doing great things, and great things as in paying for a homeless person to be in a hotel room for a week, paying for a meal, doing this, de-escalating an hour-long standoff, stuff that you never see.
So for the record, I had told Iman that we shouldn't do this because none of that stuff ever happens in law enforcement. Yeah,
exactly. It's a myth. It's the unicorn that never happens.
Yeah, we're these evil creatures, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this midweek roll call is just going to be us talking again. It's just going to be us talking about these situations, and today we decided to talk about basically remembering your why.
What's your why?
Yeah, what's your why? Why did you become a cop? Why did you join the military? Why are you in EMS? Why are you a firefighter? Remember your why, because this is probably more towards our first episode. We said, what was it, 80-20?
Yep.
Yeah, so 80% of the people in police should not be there. 20% are the actual workers. I'm going to say this is going to go out to the 20%. And if the 80% decides they want to listen and actually take it in and remember why you became a cop, then more power to you. Maybe you'll get down to that 20% and do the work that should be doing out there. So remembering your why. So my why, I'll start off. A while back, I had a case of a sexual assault involving a minor. And a minor, I mean less than 10. So it was quite the case. It was I have a son myself, and he was within that age range at the time of the investigation, and all I could think of is my kid and this victim's family, who are devastated by this, extremely devastated. And, so this investigation, obviously priority one, ended up, long story short, ended up identifying the guy. And after 2.5 years of long work, I mean, one thing people don't understand, the CSI effect.
Yes.
Is, we solve cases in 20 minutes and bad guy's in jail and that's it. The unfortunate part is the process that also we have to take, fortunate or unfortunate, however you want to see it, such as DNA and certain evidentiary things take a while to come back from the lab, right? And as much of a priority as this was, it took months before I got the results back from the DNA.
And sometimes there's no way of getting around that.
Oh, no, there's really no way because, like my victim was not the only minor victim.
Right.
There's countless out there. We get that. So finally, after 2.5 years, I was able to wrap up the case. Bad guy, basically fled outside the area where I work, outside the state of where I work.
You don't say.
Yeah. And we ended up, I ended up tracking him down, and U.S. Marshals paid him a nice visit and brought him back. And now he's serving a little over 10 years in jail.
That's it?
Which is going to be the rest of his life at his age.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he was an older person.
Yeah. He's older person. He's could have been probably this juvenile's grandfather.
Jesus Christ.
You know, but this guy was a family friend. But, you know, so, you know, 2.5 years later, we get the guy. Now we're getting ready for the trial. And this victim is all grown up, a little more grown up, we'll say. But the victims having issues at school as a result of what happened to her, to the juvenile. And it was very tough to kind of see that transition. And it reminded me kind of why I took this job, you know, to grab, you know, assholes like that, predators like that, and take them off the streets. Trust me, I was thinking of 20 other things I could have done.
Of course.
But the law is the law. We are law enforcement. We uphold the laws of our great nation, and we do what we got to do.
And anybody that says any differently, like if somebody's not going to say that they could think of 20 other things that they wanted to do to this person, is a liar.
Oh, yeah. No, big time. This is real truth. I mean, yep. Trust me, if he gave any lip to the U.S. Marshals, that would have been fine. You know, I would have been good with whatever happened. But it's the victim that really connected me again to remembering my why, because, you know, in this climate that we have of law enforcement that we're seeing, even now, like at my police department, we're still getting letters and emails from victims who just thank the police. And it reminds me of why we do what we do, no matter what, no matter how much the media blasts us or politicians blast us. There's actual victims out there that need our help, want and need our help. And that is remembering your why. Remember why you took this job.
It's one of the best messages that if we could get it out to the 900,000 or million cops or whatever it is out there. That's the message that I want in everybody's head. You know, remember your why.
I know we're tired. I know we're we've been beaten down for over a decade.
Right.
You know, and yet what's remarkable with us is we've seen countless examples of when law enforcement bands together and goes after. I mean, example, most recent example is the Boston Marathon bombing.
Yes.
Where you saw this amazing turnout of law enforcement because they had it, you know, we collectively had it in our minds that we are going to catch these two cowards for what they did. And I'm not going to even give them I'm not going to even say their names because, all right, we'll call them Speed Bump and Boathouse. That's what we'll call them, Speed Bump and Boathouse. So I could, yeah, that's not mine. I actually heard that from a different cop, so I'm not going to trademark that. But yeah, that was his explanation. Because again, I don't want to give them names, because you know what they did was heinous and hurt and killed a lot of people. So that there also at that time reminded me of my why. You know, reminded me of why we are what we are, who we are. You know, we're the apex predators hunting other predators, right? We are, and I'm not talking about traffic offenders or, you know, mom and dad in a hurry to go get dinner and right. Caught them. I'm talking about the real evil assholes out there that we need to keep them on the run or catch them. You know, keep them guessing of where we're going to be next. Because as one of my bad guys have said to me before, I am the nightmare that they all have. And I thought about that.
Yeah.
And part of me was like, you know what? That's cool. And the other part of me was, well, that's pretty cheesy.
But, you know, as cheesy as it is, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true because you literally said something that I was talking about it with my young one the other day, and we were talking about good guys and bad guys. It's she's at that age where we're having that conversation, right? And I kind of jokingly, she said, you know, somebody hurt me or whatever, and I kind of jokingly said, well, that person's going to have the worst day of their lives. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, smirked a little bit, and she's like, what do you mean? I said, well, their sky's going to turn red. Mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't have said it because she's young and she's very inquisitive right now, but it's true. Like, the one thing people need to realize is that guys like us, most guys on the department that I know look at the civilian population the exact same way.
Yeah.
Like, we want to keep the predators as there's some fucking evil out there.
Yep.
And we want to keep these people as far away from our families and our communities as possible.
Here, example of the thin blue line yet again.
Exactly.
That blue line is the difference between chaos and order.
My issue, and I'll be upfront, I've never said this to anybody. My issue with the world is pain. I cannot stand, like the hairs just rose on my arm, right? Yeah. When I hear true pain, it bothers me. It keeps me up at night and it wakes me up in the middle of the night with, you know, sometimes even a tear going down my face. I have no problem admitting to that.
Yeah.
Right? The screams of innocent people going through pain. I'm not talking about like they fell over and broke their leg or something. That hurts, obviously. But the agony.
Yeah. Showing up to a murder scene.
Oh my God.
Families are screaming.
Oh my God. I remember, I'm going to give it again with a little OPSEC. This was a very long time ago. And it still bothers me to this day. Most people don't know this. My why, if I can.
Yeah. Yeah. Go right ahead.
My why was, there was other reasons why I wanted to become a police officer, but this was the first incident that reminded me of the why. We had an 8-month-old baby that wasn't breathing. And a lot of guys will hear this and they're like, yeah, I've heard types of stories like this before, but this is really what, like, it makes my blood boil in a good way, not in a bad way. But it just came out over the air that EMS had a call for a baby that wasn't breathing, 8 months. I didn't have kids at the time. You know, I don't think I even had nephews or nieces or anything like that. Like, I was a young cop. I must have been 21 years old.
Yeah. Right? First starting?
Yeah. It was my maybe first or second year on the job. Okay. So kind of no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But, I remember saying, oh shit, that's right there. It was like 2 blocks away. So I got out of the cruiser. I walked over and I go upstairs and sure as shit, there's an 8-month-old baby blue. So I start working the baby and EMS comes. Mom is screaming.
Yeah.
Mom is screaming in another language, but it was understandable. It was a language of pain.
Yeah.
Like, pain has no language.
No.
It all sounds the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and she was screaming and screaming and screaming. So EMS comes in, and the agency that I work for, the cities and town, the city that I work for has probably one of the best EMS people on the planet. We grab the baby together. I'm still working her. We get in the truck. I'm working this kid until we get to the hospital. And again, it's one of the best hospital centers on the planet. Mm-hmm. I'm still working this kid. And I remember looking over at one of the EMS people and he had this stare in his eyes and he was like, it was kind of like, what are you doing? But it wasn't like, he wasn't like critiquing me. Yeah, what are you doing? He was like, he wanted to tell me to stop.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to stop.
Yeah. Yep.
And one of the nurses came over, and again, we love our nurses. One of the nurses came over and pulled me off the baby and was like, it was done.
Yeah.
It was done. Like, the kid was going probably, you know, into rigor.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember getting home and just being absolutely devastated. And
yeah,
it wasn't the mom's fault as to what happened.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost a SIDS type of thing, but let's not get into the details.
Yeah.
There was no wrongdoing whatsoever. But that pain, it was like, my God, if I could have prevented that, which I know I couldn't have.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't going to beat myself up on it. But if I can prevent that gurgling of a scream.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the why.
Yeah.
And I will do this job for free if I have to. I've said it a million times. Defund me.
Yeah.
Defund me. I'm putting my uniform on.
Yeah. Well, there's some of us that truly take our oath of office, our oath of being a police officer, military, seriously. It's for me, it's not a 9-to-5 job.
No.
It's a reason. It's a trade craft. It's a way of life. You know, it's part of that whole mantra I always put out with a warrior mindset and Bushido and all that. You have to take this job like it is. It's serious work.
It's serious work because imagine, and I hate going back to these politicians where they keep saying defund the police, right? They don't have a why.
No. No, they don't.
They don't have a why. They don't give two shits.
Yeah.
And if they knew, if they had come to me in that situation and heard this woman scream, or in your situation where this little girl, was it a girl or a boy?
Yeah, a girl.
This little girl, no matter how much therapy she's getting or whatever, she's going to be affected for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they had any idea, they wouldn't dare say things like defund the police.
And you know, part of what bothered me with this particular case is this guy has been in society. I mean, he's an old man.
Right.
He's been in society forever. And
imagine what he's gotten away with.
Exactly. That's what I think about.
How many kids are hurt right now that don't have the audacity, they don't have the guts to get up?
Well, I know for a fact that there was, he did have a prior case that he beat because unfortunately the victim basically went crazy because of the situation, kind of lost
good
her.
God.
Yeah, lost her mind, and they ended up having to drop the case. So I know of once. Of him getting away with it. But I said, not me.
You can't blame the system though, right?
No. I mean, you know, you would love to be like, you know what? Yeah, the victim went nuts, but you know, that's just the way our constitution works.
Right.
It just, everyone has the right to due process and the accuser has the right to face his or her accused. That's just the way it is in our constitution. And that's the way it is. You know, sometimes you'll get victims who'll say, oh, I can't testify. I'll never testify. You know, as hard as it is. And we understand it. Trust me, I've taken faces of victims with me all the time.
Like right.
Us as cops, we yep. take these faces and these feelings with us, home, you know, sometimes. So, you know, it's remembering why you're doing what you're doing. You're doing it for them. Not for these freaking politicians, like, you know, again, like the first episode, I talked about Bernie Sanders saying, if you disrespect a cop, you'll get shot in the back of the head. This is a politician, supposed elected official.
One step from becoming your commander in chief.
Exactly. And it boggles my mind. And but at times, though, you know, guys and gals, those officers out there, we have to ignore it because we have a job to do.
You're going to ignore it. There's how much do we ignore?
Yeah, a right? lot.
Like we ignore how many of these quote unquote experts, and everybody's an expert until they're not, right?
Exactly.
Like everybody was an expert on the economy and said the economy's never going to crash.
Yeah.
We're never going to have another pandemic because we're so smart, right? Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Everybody's an expert until they're not. Yeah, but exactly. If we as a unit, like I look at policing, even though we're not a nationalized police, so many places in the world are national police departments, right? My family came from, and I'll give you a tiny bit of background. Probably nobody knows this. My family came from a socialist country.
Mm.
My family came where my father was a police officer in that country and legitimately left the profession because he was asked to do certain things that were against human nature.
Oh, socialism.
Like, think about that.
Yeah.
The man upped his family, and you know this because of what your family did,
yeah.
and moved to a strange fucking country
yeah.
because of socialism.
Yeah.
Because he was asked to do things that we would never in a million years want to do to the biggest shitbag.
Yep.
Like you said in your scenario, you know what you wanted to do to this guy.
Oh my God, yeah.
Take your uniform off and be a civilian.
Yeah.
And you know what you wanted to do.
Oh yeah.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
And you would never.
No, we still have honor to uphold. We still have
honor.
Our job to uphold. We still have to set an example, you know, because we are supposed to be the best of society, right, guys?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be that top percent.
Finest.
Yeah, the top percentage of society has to offer to be cops. So, you know, like myself and Pete, you know, we take our jobs very seriously, and we're hunters out there. You know, we're looking for that guy or gal because women are evil. Also, you have evil women out there, guys yeah. and gals, who are preying upon the innocents. And that's our thing. We're out there in the night, day, night, midnight, whatever time.
God, I hate
time.
Midnights, dude.
That's why, you know, the bad guys know, they don't know when I'm coming. I've come at 2 a.m, I've come at 5 a.m, I've come 3 p.m. They have no idea when I'm coming because when I'm coming, here I am, you know.
They're going to know it and they're going to feel it. We're not going to tickle you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. They know very well when I show up. And again, like I said, you know, for the civilian. It's not the traffic offenders. It's not someone who had a bad day, threw a, you know, a soda across the room or something. You know, it's nothing. It is pure evil people that we're talking about that we've seen. Even though a majority, unlike what some people are telling you, that evil people don't exist and they try to hide a disorder or a mental disorder behind it, where, you know, we've come along. Yeah, I mean, I've 15, 16 years, 18 years with Pete. So you've got to combine, you know, a little over 30 years worth of law enforcement. And we've seen mental disorders. We've seen
true mental disorders.
True mental disorders. But we've also seen evil.
Evil. Oh, there's a look. I think evil is a disorder, right? Yeah. I don't consider it a diagnosable. Like, we can fix this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it runs in people's veins. It's in their DNA. They grew up wanting to be evil.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And how many times we're just sitting here having this conversation, and probably 30 repressed memories are coming back to my head. Yeah. Right. I'll tell you a good memory that I had where evil was defeated. The man caused, we're not going to name names again because you're glorifying them at this point. But he had caused so much damage, so much bloodshed, so much of that agonizing screaming, right? Like, lives were lost. And I'll never forget when he was taken into custody, let's call it, when he was stopped. He turns around and looks at us and goes, "Am I going to be okay?" And I remember the words. I'm not saying it again. You know me personally. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. I don't act like this tough guy or anything, but I remember saying to him, "Yeah, sweetheart, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry." And again, you know what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
But this evil piece of shit human being resorted back to, it was almost like a 5-year-old, man. It was, "Am I going to be okay?"
Yeah.
But then you see him later on in custody, all over the news and in the media and all that, giving the finger to people and blah, blah, blah. And now he's suddenly tough again.
Yeah. 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 I can't, I don't have enough fingers on my hands to count the times that I've seen that, you know? So guys, we're going to wrap it up. So again, this is about remembering your why. We're going to do midweek roll call. It's going to be different. It's going to be positive on cops. It's going to show, we're going to highlight certain officers across the country on things that they've done. So I hope you've enjoyed it.
And I have a quote that I want to give out to everybody. One of my favorite quotes ever. "The greatest trick the devil ever played was convinced people he didn't exist." See you later, guys.